Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. And I'm going to get to the Biden Black Caucus members meeting on police reform after the whole Memphis cop beating thing. We'll get to that and the ESG stuff and the heart attacks and everything. But I promised you yesterday that I would give you a story. Someone mentioned it. I forget who it was, what the deal was, but here's a story. Now, I guess Biden, honestly, it was probably a Biden thing that inspired the story, because Biden just routinely says the dumbest things in the world and puts his foot in his mouth. But I actually share that in common with Joe Biden. I do too. This has happened to me several times in my life, so let me give you the worst, most offensive possible way I can explain this story of me putting my foot in my mouth. So here's what it is. And then we'll get to the Biden stuff and back to politics and your emails and everything else. All right. So, you know, I sold RVs before I did this. I've done 1,000 different things, but selling RVs just happened to be the thing I was doing before I just fell backwards into this whole thing 5 years ago. And when I was selling RVs, our headquarters, our office, was a double-wide trailer. I don't know if you've ever been in a mobile home. I've been in more than one. Look, I know you're going to find that shocking. I've been in more than one mobile home. Stayed the night in more than one. Shoot, I lived in one for a while. So I never minded it, but there is certainly a difference between a mobile home, many differences between a mobile home and a home. One of those things is they're just not insulated as well because the walls aren't as thick. And the noise, I remember this when I lived in one. I actually slept on a couch. I lived in one on a couch for quite some time. Like I said, I've been around the block. But you hear everything, absolutely everything. If your buddy's talking on the phone at the other end of the mobile home and there isn't music or something going on, you're listening to your buddy's conversation, the whole thing. That's going to come into play here in just a moment. Now, we headquartered out of a double wide. So everyone had their own little room, their own little office where you'd bring your RV customers in and do your paperwork and stuff. So we get called down one day to the, quote, conference room, the biggest room that was at the other end of the double wide mobile home. And it's the boss. And the boss pulls us all in and he says, hey, want to give you guys a heads up. We got training today. Someone's coming here to train. And we're all, okay, who's coming here to train? And he said, our office manager, and I'm going to change some of these names. These are fake names. I'm protecting everybody at the time. Our office manager, we'll call her Barb. Barb is the office manager. Hey, Barb. Barb, our office manager, was going to have to train Janice. There's a lady coming in named Janice. All right, Barb and Janice. Janice is the one who's being trained. And we said, okay, well, what's the big deal? And he said, well, you've got a new person in the office. Not only is she a woman, she's a black woman. And we said, oh, okay, well, it's not the KKK here. I think we'll be fine. He said, no, you know, in today's culture, you got to be careful. If you say something weird, say something dumb, just don't say anything. He wasn't worried about us. And he said, just don't say anything today. Someone's showing up, black woman. Janice is a black woman. She's coming up and she's training. Okay, fine. And we go about our day. And she's in there. Janice is in there being trained by Barb all day long. Here's how you send this. Here's how you do that. So on and so forth. I, to my credit, all day long, I was good. All day long, I kept things quiet, even though my voice, they used to yell at me. They said it carried, which I think is ridiculous. But I was good all day long. I didn't say anything offensive to customers. I didn't say anything offensive to the office manager or the lady being trained. I was awesome virtually the entire day, basically the whole day. I just need to point that out. And then later on in the afternoon, Janice, remember the lady who's being trained, the black lady who's being trained, goes down to the long end of the hall for something. And I just need to stretch my legs. I just got done doing some paperwork. So I get up and I go stand in the door of my office. Now, remember, it's a double wide here. So Janice is walking back to continue being trained. I'm in the door and we're right next to each other, right? It's a mobile home. I'm not in a mansion. It's a mobile home. And Janice, I look at her because I had to say something. I had to say something. She's walking right by me. I said, "So, Janice, how's your day going?" And Janice looks at me and she says, "It's going pretty good. Barb is training me pretty hard in there." And I looked at Janice, the black girl, and I said, "Yeah, she's a real slave driver." Virtually all the noise in the mobile home stops. Anybody who's in ear distance stops. The general manager, I'm actually the sales manager at the time. The general manager is right across the hall from me. I'll never forget. As soon as I said it, I said to myself, "Man, that was a horrible turn of phrase. Why would I say that?" All I see is him. I think he dropped a pen, if I remember right. He had a pen in his hand. He's at his desk, and he just puts his elbows on the desk and puts his head in his hands. And at that point, there's not really much I can do. It is a common phrase people use. But there, that is the story I promised you from yesterday. Now, get to this real quick before we get to some emails. Someone has a question about the whole COVID stuff. And we have some wild audio from the World Economic Forum that's going to creep you out before we get to this. The headline is, Biden and the Black Caucus members meet on police reform after that Tyre Nichols got beaten to death in Memphis. The only thing I'll say on this is this. Remember, the outrage and the rioting and all that stuff you see in the wake of every single time a black dude gets killed by the police. None of that is real. All right? None of it is real. It all has a purpose, don't get me wrong, but none of it is actually some community outrage response to somebody getting killed. Lots of the response you see on the ground is simply an excuse to loot and steal stuff you want. There's a reason that they're so outraged about these racial crimes. They loot Foot Locker and they go loot the local GameStop for a new Xbox. But the local flower shop doesn't get any roses stolen. I wonder why. Okay, so that's one. But two, on a bigger level, forget about the street scum. We're not talking about that. On a bigger level, what's the angle here? What's the deal? Remember, communism in America has different brands. They're all part of the same goal, part of the same thing, but they have different brands. Remember the goal, the overarching goal. Picture this board, right? Picture our board. Back to our pin board. At the top of the pin board, the biggest piece of paper is the destruction of America. That is the goal. That is the goal. That is the communist goal, burn America to ash. It's always been their goal. But underneath that, they have different branding for different groups of malcontents. Because remember, as you know by now, communism is simply the recruitment of malcontents into your group for the purpose of destroying whatever society you want to destroy. Part of ours, now we have a bunch of different branches of ours now. There's the LGBTQ Air Force stuff and the climate change stuff and the feminists and everything else. But the quote civil rights thing is a huge, huge, huge part of it. It's been a huge part of it for a very long time. Their goal, because it is the goal of the notch on top, it is the communist goal, their goal is springing violent people out of prison. That is what they want. They don't want criminals to be arrested for crimes. Now, don't get me wrong. They would love for you to be arrested for voting the way you vote, for believing the things you believe. But as far as robbing a store, murder, rape, these things, they don't want criminals arrested for crimes. Why? This is normally a time where people say, "Jesse, why? I don't understand. It's their own neighborhoods. Jesse, I don't understand why people don't want criminals arrested and put in prison for crimes." If you're confused about that, I will explain why they do that in just a second. Why would you ever want a bunch of violent criminals to run around your society? Doesn't make sense. It sounds crazy, right? I will explain it in just a moment. And then we'll get to some emails. Before I explain that, let me explain this. It hurts to bury a dog. I have done so several times in my life. Grabbing a shovel with my old man, tears running down my face, digging a hole in the ground to throw a dog in. I've been there several times. I know for a fact that we are going to be there with Fred one day, that big, fluffy, idiot golden doodle that I have. We are. And I know the family's going to be a mess. The wife's going to be a mess. If I'm being totally frank, I'll probably not be doing great that day. Don't worry, I'm not going to come whine on the air, but I won't be doing great that day. I would, however, like to avoid that day as long as possible so that big idiot can, you know, so we can enjoy him. I like Rough Greens because I get veterinarian after veterinarian emailing my show saying, Jesse, I'm so happy. I give this to all my dogs. They live longer. Jesse, they live longer. Jesse, it's so good for them. And remember, this is all natural stuff, vitamins and minerals. The dog food you give your dog is dead. It's dead. There's nothing in it. This is the supplement you add to it. Your dog will love it, by the way. Get some Rough Greens for your puppy. Get some more years, some more mileage out of that thing, all right? Whether he's young or old, maybe those hips are going. I know how it goes. RUFF, by the way. They're giving out a free trial bag right now. Roughgreens.com/Jesse gets you a free bag. All you pay for is the shipping. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right. Why? Why do they want to spring violent criminals loose? That's weird. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You know that creepy World Economic Forum audio we've played for you over time? I can't believe I'm saying this. We may have the coup de grace. We may have the worst, creepiest WEF audio we've ever played. I'm going to get to that here in a second. I have to finish explaining this really quickly. So I was talking about how the Biden is meeting with the Black Caucus. And of course, they're meeting on police reform because of Tyre Nichols got beaten to death by those cops in Memphis. And I explained that the civil rights portion of American communism, it's all about turning criminals loose. That's the overall goal of that branch. Remember, the climate change branch, their main goal is the destruction of America's economic might, their destruction of our entire economy. The LGBTQ Air Force branch, they're extremely effective, and the feminists, really, they're both extremely effective in breaking up the American home, the American family. The communist has always feared a strong nuclear family. Man marries a woman, they stay together, they have a bunch of kids, you raise kids with values. Those families, those children almost never go to communism. The communist knows that, so he wants to break that up. But the civil rights portion is one of the main portions, I would argue the main portion, that is used to destabilize the country. Because this is what confuses people. Jesse, why would they want violent criminals to go free? I get this all the time. I don't understand. You have these DAs from Alvin Bragg to Gascon. You have all these people across the nation in these major cities turning criminals loose. St. George Floyd dies. Immediately, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they're in the streets trying to turn criminals loose. Why? Why all this cashless bail? Why so many criminals loose? Why so many light sentences? Well, Lenin had a great saying and one you should really burn into your memory. One that I have to fall back on from time to time when I look at something and I say, why? I don't understand why. Why? Lenin's saying was very simple. The worse, the better. The worse, the better. Revolution without end. One of the very first things the Soviets did was get down to the prison and not turn loose just the political prisoners that were on their side. They made sure they turned all the rapists and murderers and robbers loose to ravage Soviet society. Why? To what end? That doesn't make sense. Well, chaos, disorder, angst, panic in the public always will serve the communist in the end because you think logically that doesn't make sense to you. To you, you think, okay, Alvin Bragg took this murderer. This murderer, he let him out of jail. The murderer got out of jail, and then he murdered somebody else. Therefore, I won't vote for Alvin Bragg. You think linearly. You think logically. People do not. Most people do not. They don't understand. They don't take time like you take time to break down the why, the who, what, when, where, why. Okay, I see what I'm seeing. Why am I seeing it? What is this a result of? What you dig into these things. You read articles. You listen to the radio. You watch TV. You do these things. But societies in general do not. What do societies in general see? They see the 2 inches in front of their face. That's what they see. The 2 inches in front of their face. So when there's murder and mayhem, it creates this feeling of angst in the public. They want it to stop. They want to feel safe. The communist steps in, and this is the perfect opportunity to sell something other than freedom, because they'll package that up and say, hey, look what freedom's doing. Isn't this ridiculous? You know what? Give me every one of your guns. We're cracking down. And if you get people scared enough people, I'm not talking about you, remember. We're never talking about you. Well, rarely. Not talking about you or me. We're different. If you scare people enough, you get people riled up enough, create enough angst in them about the world around them and the violence, and what about my husband and my wife and my kids and mom is unsafe, eventually they will hand you your liberty. They will. They will hand over their liberty to the communists. It shouldn't work that way. But human nature, flawed and fallen as it is, does work that way. Now, maybe you're still a little skeptical. Maybe you're saying, Jesse, that wasn't a good example. I don't agree. Okay, well, you want the one that ends the argument then? COVID. Remember how people responded to COVID? Remember, you live in the land of the free. Governors, mayors, presidents, senators in this country, they don't have the authority to do lockdowns. It's become this thing, should we have locked down, should we not have locked down? You know that none of that was legal, right? You can't lawfully do that. So they all just became tyrants overnight. Lock it down, 15 days to slow the spread. Shut up, go home, put on a mask. What did America do? America shut up and went home and put on a mask. There were no million-man demonstrations in the streets. There was none of that. There was no mass protests from business owners in any part. Small towns, large towns, doesn't matter. America went home. Why? Because they also succeeded in making America afraid. That worked like a charm. America, go home. No. Hey, we're all going to die. Millions. Oh, okay. Is Netflix on? Chaos. Angst. Fear. These things are the fertile soil in which the communist grows. That's why he creates so much of it. That's why they don't tell you this, but whenever some black dude gets killed by the cops, they're all cheering behind the scenes every single time. Now, let's get to a couple emails. Someone wants to know, speaking of COVID and Trump and all that stuff, got some new Trump DeSantis stuff out there. Heavy D kind of responded. We'll talk a little bit about that. That's always spicy and fun. But let's talk about your crappy cell phone. Now, hold on. Your cell phone itself is fine. They're all made in China, which sucks, but your cell phone itself is fine. It's your cell phone carrier that's the problem. You see, there is a patriotic cell phone carrier out there. You don't have to give your money to Verizon. You don't have to give your money to T-Mobile. You don't have to do these things. PureTalk is on the same 5G network as one of the big guys. Same phones, same everything. They just sent me a brand new iPhone 14. My family's bill got cut in half, so you can save a pile of money and support a company that actually supports your values. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month on top of all the other savings. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk now. Now's the time.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because Poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you if you missed any part of the show, including our world-changing announcement at the beginning of the show about my new book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, which actually you can go buy now wherever books are sold. It comes out June 6th. Not that I'm going to bring it up or promote it the whole show. If you missed anything, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. All right? Before we get to the World Economic Forum stuff and the heart attack stuff and the Bill Gates stuff and everything else, let's do a little primary update. We're going to do these all the time because I love this spicy primary. I know you hate it. I know I'm in a minority. But the whole Trump versus DeSantis thing and versus everyone else who gets in, I love it. I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy for the party. I think it's healthy for you. I think it's healthy for me. I want a killer. I want the person who's ready to take on an incredibly corrupt machine. How do I find the best killer? How do I find the one who's able to do that? Well, I want you all to go fight each other. And whoever emerges from that cage will be my guy. Now, we talked a little bit yesterday about Trump and his strategy right now when it comes to the COVID stuff. And again, I am on neither person's team. And what that's going to mean is I'm going to end up offending everybody at some point in time. It's important that you understand before you email me. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's fine. But it's important you understand if anything I say offends you, I don't care. All right, I'm still going to keep saying it. I like to analyze these things as dispassionately as I can. Trump came out recently and he's been blasting DeSantis for locking down his state. And he's been saying, hey, I never locked down anywhere. I told him to do whatever they wanted. And this is what DeSantis's people have responded with. They responded with, hey, that's a lie. Trump was yelling at everyone to lock down. Trump even yelled at Kemp in Georgia for opening too early. He yelled at Sweden. Trump is a huge lockdown guy early on. Okay, well, let me clarify a couple of things here. Yes, what you just said is true. Trump is a huge lockdown guy. He was. He's still out there doing the President Pfizer thing, too. Trump was terrible when it came to COVID. Terrible. But from a campaign strategy standpoint, listen to me. What he's saying makes sense politically as a strategy. Is it honest? No, but it's politics. And this is what I mean. In politics, especially in a primary, you're going for a lane, right? You want the widest, fastest lane, but what you really need is a lane. Now, what does that mean, a lane? Well, the public is always hungering for something. And oftentimes, they're hungering for different things. So there's not always one lane you have to pick. So what do I mean by that? Let's go last time Trump ran. What was Trump's big issue? He led with it, came down the escalator and led with it. What was it? Illegal immigration. Well, here was the brilliance of that. Not only was he correct with his stance on illegal immigration was this huge lane that Republicans in general won't touch because they're a bunch of low-T losers and they don't want to ever, oh, I don't want to deport anybody. Well, everybody's welcome. Well, I'm an immigration squish. And all of a sudden, this guy comes down the escalator and he says, hey, these people are bad people, drug dealers and such, shouldn't be here. Well, what Trump did, he owned the lane. He took over that illegal immigration lane. So if you were an illegal immigration voter, like I very much am, you hear Trump talk about it and you say, okay, that's my guy. That's my guy right there. That's a lane. Well, Trump has a problem right now. Now, he knows he has a problem, but he has a problem. The anti-lockdown people, anti-vaccine people, which you can really, honestly, if we're being frank, you can lump me into that group. They are a huge portion of the Republican primary voter. They are, look, whether it's 50% or 90, it is a significant portion. Okay, now that is a lane. That is a lane, and there's a lot of voters in that lane. You really want to drive down that lane if you're a Republican primary candidate. But Donald Trump was horrible during COVID. He was. He was weak. He handed the country to Fauci. He paid off Big Pharma to poison everybody. Still out there promoting it. I don't care about your opinion on it. He was dreadful during it. Dreadful. Donald Trump also knows that. And he knows his stances are not popular. That's a lane he doesn't have. Okay, so he doesn't get to drive down that lane, right? He wants as many lanes as possible. That lane is being denied him because he sucked it up so bad. Now, there's precious little he can do about that. He can't turn around and undo what he did. I'm sure he probably would if he could. But here's what he can do. Just explaining you the thinking on it. What he can do is grab DeSantis, who he views as his only significant opponent. And as of right now, that's true. Grab DeSantis, muddy him up with you, and deny him the lane as well. Let me explain it this way. Chris and I are both running for president against each other. And let's say I cheated on my taxes. I've been cheating on my taxes forever. No, IRS, I don't cheat on my taxes. I actually overpay because I know you communist scumbags would love to audit me. But let's say I cheated on my taxes. And I've been busted. Okay, it's been established. Jesse's a tax cheat. And you don't love that. That wouldn't be popular. Okay, this guy's a lawbreaker. He's not fulfilling his obligations. He's running for president. But Chris has fudged some numbers on the taxes, but he didn't do anything near as bad as what I did. It would be effective to me, for me, if I wasn't real hung up on the honesty part of it, it would be an effective strategy for me, just cold-bloodedly, to run a campaign saying, Chris is a tax cheat. To which Chris's people, they'd say, whoa, what are you crazy? You're the tax cheat. What are you talking about? And the high infos would be offended by that. High information people like you would be offended by that. And they would think that's dishonest and things like that. But remember, high information people don't win elections. They don't decide elections. You don't decide elections. I don't decide elections. The low infos do. My attack would be confusing enough that it would taint Chris with the same taint that I'm tainted with. You see, now it's gotten so complicated, it's confused people. Jesse's a tax cheat. Yeah, but Chris is a tax cheat too. But you're on team Chris and not team me, so this is where you go. No, you don't understand. Jesse actually cheated from 2015 to 2020, whereas Chris just had this one tax return. See, already, I've already tuned you out. I'm a low info. You're trying to explain the difference, which is very valid. You're correct. But as a low info, I've already tuned you out. What Trump is doing, I argue smartly. You can yell about that it's dishonest, and of course it is, but that's whatever. I would argue he is smartly trying to take the anti-lockdown lane, take that away as an option from Ron DeSantis. That's what you're seeing. And again, before you scream at me, this isn't going to work. People won't believe it. No. You won't believe it. We always have to keep in mind, I have to do this too, how uniquely informed we are. And I know I'm just kind of kidding when I joke about all the Oracle stuff, but we really are the most informed because we care about this stuff. That's why we pay attention. That's why you're listening to the sound of my voice. Most of the voting public simply doesn't. They don't. And so that is why Trump is taking that tactic. I say it's a smart tactic. Muddy up the waters, confuse people. Yeah, they both kind of did, that kind of a thing. And let's be fair, DeSantis did lock down his state. To his credit, he's, as far as I know, the only politician in the country who apologized for it, walked it back and said, huge mistake, that's never going to happen again. So that's all I can ask for, but he did. That's what he did. All right? All right. Look, you want to scream at me about it? What if we argued about the primary in Israel? What if, hear me out, Chris. You know how the Romans killed all those Jews, killed all the zealots up on top of Masada, the Masada fortress. What if we save our primary argument for the trip for Masada? And we'll argue, what, Chris? Hear me out. will reenact the Romans versus the Jews only verbally for the primary on our Israel trip. This is a great idea, Chris. I don't know why you're shaking your head. I just came up with this. Freaking brilliant. So if you want to fight with me in Masada or just hang out with me and Chris and Michael and the fam and everybody, the whole Jesse Kelly Show family. Well, that's not true. Not the whole show. The Jesse Kelly Show family is going to Israel. All right. Yes, by the way, Chris, good call. If you bring a book, if you buy the Anti-Communist Manifesto and you want me to autograph it there, which I can't imagine what my autograph would be worth, probably several hundred million dollars, I would guess. Yes, I'll autograph whatever you want there, clearly. ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse if you want to go, all right? ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. We go in July. 10 days in the Holy Land. Hang on. I've got an
animal inside of me. This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an exciting night here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's go back to what we're talking about. We took a little sidetrack here to kind of update everybody on the whole Trump. Why was Trump acting like DeSantis was worse on lockdowns than he was? And just kind of just going over the campaign strategy of all of it. Now, that brings us to today. And then we'll get to your emails and the heart attacks and everything else. Today, Heavy D gets asked about it in Florida. This is what he has to say.
I roll out of bed. I have people attacking me from all angles. It's been happening for many, many years. And if you look at the good thing about it, though, is like if you take a crisis situation like COVID, you know, the good thing about it is when you're an elected executive, you have to make all kinds of decisions. You got to steer that ship. And the good thing is that the people are able to render a judgment on that, whether they reelect you or not. And I'm happy to say, you know, in my case, not only did we win re-election, we won with the highest percentage of the vote that any Republican governor candidate has in the history of the state of Florida.
Okay. That is, for now, very, very effective. DeSantis has the luxury right now of one being in office as governor. Remember, Trump's not in office. Trump can't govern. He's nothing. He has the same amount of political authority as you do, as I do. DeSantis is in office. He's a governor. Governor of a major, major state. It's a big deal. He has the advantage of being able to just govern. Trump does not have that advantage. DeSantis also has an advantage that he can take credit for. He's been really good. He did lock down his state, which is disgraceful and tyrannical and never should have happened. Shaped himself up faster than most, apologized for it, has been leading the free movement for a couple years now. Look, what that does campaign-wise, it gives him an opportunity. An opportunity to do what? All he has to do whenever he's attacked for now is say, look at the scoreboard. Oh, I don't have to respond. Look at the scoreboard. Oh, look at the scoreboard. Oh, you did this? Oh, yep, look at the scoreboard. All those congressional wins, that huge reelection campaign, he can do that for now. Do keep in mind, and he knows this, I'm sure Trump knows this too, he cannot do that forever. He can't do it forever. At some point in time, campaigns like this, because everyone's seen this before, campaigns like this, you have to stop the ignore him, act like he doesn't exist routine, and you have to engage. The timing of that will be everything. When is smart? I don't know. I don't know that we'll know till the time comes. For now, he can ignore Trump. Makes Trump look petty, makes it look like he's just governing, which of course he's not. He's running for office too. Don't be naive. But he can do that. Well, I'm thinking the high road. There's no need to attack me. I'm just over here being a governor thing. He's of course running for office. How that ends, when he has to jump in, I don't know. But that is the deal. That's what you're seeing. So I get a bunch of emails of different kinds like this. This one says, Dear Jesse, the Jesse Kelly Show is the best radio talk show on earth. I'm worried it could be sucked into being a cheerleader for the ultimate Pied Piper Donald Trump. Will it? I mean, how long have you been listening to the show? Am I Pied Piper for anybody? I don't wear pajamas, ever. Never have, never will. I don't do bumper stickers. I don't do hats. I don't place my faith in men. None of them. Not politicians. Nobody. Nobody, because we're all flawed. And I understand that these guys are all, in the end, probably going to let us down. I care about legal and local elections. I care about a lot of things. I don't wear anybody's or wave anyone's pom-poms. Jesse, you always say you're not for any politician, that you're for us in the end. Well, let me clarify. I'm not for any politician. I'm for me in the end. I'm not a benevolent person. I care very deeply about the country my children are going to inherit, and their children, and their children. And when I'm dead and gone, I want my great-great-great-grandkids to enjoy the country that I have enjoyed. Now, yes, you know I love you, but I'm selfish. When I say I'm not for anybody, I'm for you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm for me. I'm on team me, all right? I care about my country. I will toss any one of these politicians in the meat grinder without a second thought if I think it helps the country. Anyway, she goes on to say, I get what you're saying about Trump getting back out at rallies and going off boos and cheers, but what about when he gets in office and there are no more rallies? I want someone who knows what is right without the cheers and boos. I don't want someone who listens to a couple scummy advisors instead of what his base wants. If he's a nominee, I'll vote for him, but I'm off the Trump train if he keeps getting behind the establishment, so on and so forth. Okay, well, let's deal with this really quickly. Then we're going to move on this Trump DeSantis stuff. This was already too much time. Look, I want a lot of things, okay? You said you want somebody who will stand strong when he's not at a rally. You don't want Trump to need rallies in order to get back in touch with his base. And I don't fault you for having that way of thinking. I agree with that. I don't want anyone to have to need a rally to try to understand what normal people are thinking. I get that. I guess part of the... Look, this goes back to the waving pom-poms thing. Part of the reason I don't do it is I genuinely see tremendous flaws in all of these potential presidential hopefuls. All of them. I just see tremendous flaws coming. That's the bottom line. What do we know? What don't we know? People love to now, because it's fashionable, point out Trump's flaws, and I'm happy to do that too. You know, I've done it several times, but everyone's got them. Is Jesus running? I'm going to have to look again. I didn't see Jesus on the ballot until he is. They've all got flaws, and they're all just dudes, right? They're all just dudes. And I think we'd know if Jesus was running, because Chris would probably try to kill him again. Chris. Oh, it's a joke. That's funny. I meant your people, Chris. I didn't mean that to be offensive. Just you people is what I meant, per se. All right, quit. We have a whole hour left, but I got a couple juicy bits of audio. The World Economic Forum one, it's got to lead the hour. It's got to lead the hour. So we will play this World Economic Forum audio. It is amazing that they have somehow come up with creepier audio than they had before. That is wild, but nevertheless, they pulled it off, and I will play that for you in a second. Before I play that for you, I don't want you to die during the commercial break, or I don't want you to get murdered or assaulted or anything like that. So even while you're listening to the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show, in traffic sitting there, do you have your hero gun or your hero arrow within arm's reach? Is it within arm's reach? Can you reach over and grab it right now? Is it on you, ladies? Is it in that purse? Maybe you listen while you work out. Again, ladies, just talking to you for a moment. Did you leave it at home? Nah, I don't like it when I jog. Really? Would you like to be assaulted by a career felon while you're out jogging? Fanny pack doesn't take you. Slip a hero arrow right in a fanny pack, right in some shorts in the back. You never even know. You can even wear your little hot fitness clothes. That's fine. It fits in there too. Fellas, hero arrow fits right in your pocket. Right in your pocket. Do you have it on you? Hero2020.com for yourself and the person you love the most. Hero2020.com, code Jesse, all right? You don't need a concealed carry permit. These are non-lethal things. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.